The first reading this morning is from the book of 1 Kings, chapter 17. The book of 1 Kings, chapter 17, starting from verse 7. Elijah has been sent into the wilderness by God, and he's just been fed by the ravens and the brook. And it came to pass after a while that the brook dried up, because there had been no rain in the land. And the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, Arise, get thee to Zarephath, which belongeth to Zidon, and dwell there. Behold, I have commanded a widow woman to there sustain thee. So he arose and went to Zarephath. And when he came to the gate of the city, behold, the widow woman was there, gathering of sticks. And he called to her, and said, Fetch me, I pray thee, a little water in a vessel, that I may drink. And as she was going to fetch it, he called to her, and said, Bring me, I pray thee, a morsel of bread in thine hand. And she said, As the Lord thy God liveth, I have not a cake, but an handful of meal in a barrel, and a little oil in a cruse. And behold, I am gathering two sticks, that I may go in and dress it for me and my son, that we may eat it and die. And Elijah said unto her, Fear not, go and do as thou hast said, but make me thereof a little cake first, and bring it unto me, and after make for thee and for thy son. For thus saith the Lord God of Israel, The barrel of meal shall not waste, neither shall the cruse of oil fail, until the day that the Lord sendeth rain upon the earth. And she went and did according to the saying of Elijah, and she and he and her house did eat many days. And the barrel of meal wasted not, neither did the cruse of oil fail, according to the word of the Lord which he spake by Elijah. And it came to pass after these things that the son of the woman, the mistress of the house, fell sick. And his sickness was so sore that there was no breath left in him. And she said unto Elijah, What have I to do with thee, O thou man of God? Art thou come unto me to call my sin into remembrance and to slay my son? And he said unto her, Give me thy son. And he took out of her bosom and carried him up into a loft where he abode and laid him upon his own bed. And he cried unto the Lord and said, O Lord my God, hast thou also brought evil upon the widow with whom I sojourned by slaying her son? And he stretched himself upon the child three times and cried unto the Lord and said, O Lord my God, I pray thee, let this child's soul come into him again. It's from the book of Luke, chapter 4, beginning at verse 14. Luke, chapter 4. Jesus returned to Galilee in power of the Spirit, and news about him spread through the whole countryside. He taught in their synagogues, and everyone praised him. He went to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, and on the Sabbath day he went into the synagogue, as was his custom, and he stood up to read. The scroll of the prophet Isaiah was handed to him, and unrolling it, he found the place where it is written, The Spirit of the Lord is on me, because he has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to release the oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. Then he rolled up the scroll, gave it back to the attendant, and sat down. The eyes of everyone in the synagogue were fastened on him, and he began by saying to them, Today, this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing. All spoke well of him and were amazed at the gracious words that came from his lips. Isn't this Joseph's son? They asked. Jesus said to them, Surely you will quote this proverb to me, Physician, heal yourself. Do here in your hometown what we have heard you did in Capernaum. I tell you the truth, he continued, no prophet is accepted in his own hometown. I assure you that there were many widows in Israel in Elijah's time, when the sky was shut for 3.5 years and there was a severe famine throughout the land. Yet Elijah was not sent to any of them, but to a widow in Zarephath in the region of Sidon. And there were many in Israel with leprosy in the time of Elisha the prophet, yet not one of them was cleansed, only Naaman the Syrian. All the people in the synagogue were furious when they heard this. Thanks be to God for these readings from his holy word.
Good morning, everybody. I just want to tell you a little bit about what I plan to be doing over the summer. I've been involved in prison work over a number of years and worked as prison chaplain. And when I began to think about what I was going to do after probation, the idea of doing prison work in Kenya slowly began to form, and I started to look at it. And this is really the next stage in exploring how that might take shape. So I think when those of you here the other week saw where the map of Africa and Kenya on the east coast, and I'll be going to Nairobi, which is the capital of Kenya. It's a city of about 3 million people. I think it's about the 12th largest city in Africa. It's a large cosmopolitan city. It means... Nairobi is a Maasai word for the place of cool waters, because it's actually 6,000 feet up. And when I go, it will be the middle of winter in Nairobi. And at 6,000 feet, that can be pretty chilly. So I'll be taking my fleece with me, which is something that people don't always appreciate when they think of people going off to Africa. But it can be pretty chilly during the day. So it's a big modern cosmopolitan city in the centre, but of course there are also slum areas, and quite a number of churches in Scotland have links in one way or another with churches and with projects in the different areas of Nairobi. I'll be going to spend about 4 weeks based with the Presbyterian Church of East Africa, PCEA, and that's their logo, Faith, Hope and Love. And I'll be going to the headquarters in Nairobi, the equivalent of 121, if you like. And there I'll be meeting with two people that I've already met with. Festus Katonga is the General Secretary of PCEA. He was over for the General Assembly last year, and Francis Jirogi was over this year. So these are two people that I've met with and spoken to, and will be they'll be sort of showing me around the churches, and hopefully I'll be going to one of the churches that I'll be based with when I go out later on in the year. So a lot of discussions with these two men and their team. There's a team there with that have different interests, different activities, and working out with them how I might fit into the work that the church is doing there. I'll also be spending a bit of time with Philemon Kelvin, who was here a week or two ago. He's the executive director of Philemon, and I'll be going and finding out more about the work. And they work directly in prisons. And I want to show you, just before I say any more, just a brief video of some of the issues in Kenya.
My baby died. She was a little girl, just 3 months old. I was devastated. I held my other daughter so close, and I just cried and cried. Then there was a knock at the door. It was a policeman, and he arrested me for murdering my child. As I was being led away, I had to ask a friend to look after my other daughter. I don't know where her father is. I later heard she was being looked after by the local pastor and his family. I've been here, in prison, for 3 years. I don't understand why. My baby died of malaria. It was clear for anyone to see. I don't know when my trial will be. I seem to go to court every so often, but I don't really understand what happens. I'm in and out in 2 minutes. I couldn't possibly speak to the judge, not someone like me. I worry about my little girl. I haven't seen her for 3 years. She must be really tall by now.
So look at the end, it says this wouldn't happen in the UK. And some of the work that Philemon does is with the women in prison, and going in with this organisation CLEAR, helping people who've been wrongly imprisoned and who don't know why they're in prison, and helping them in practical ways, as well as setting up support groups within the prison and helping them when they come out. And one of the things I hope to be involved in is with these groups when they come out, there's a halfway house, so people that have been engaged with Philemon in prison and want to be part of one of these support groups. They then come out, and if they need further support, they'll go to a halfway house and then helped back into their community, where links are made with the churches. So one of the things I'd hope to be doing is making links with churches around Kenya, that these people will be going back to, and helping to set up a support network, which is similar to the work that I've been doing here in UK. One of the halfway house that is currently being built is at a place called Kibwezi. And when I was looking at the history of the Presbyterian Church in Kenya, the first place that the Scottish missionaries set up a mission was in Kibwezi in 1891. So this is like 110 years later, going back to this very place that the first mission was set up. And this halfway house will be somewhere where there's a team of Philemon people. And I'm hoping that I will be able to visit there during my travels. So this, the summer, very much exploratory, finding out what my role would be, where I could best fit in, getting to know the prison system a bit, getting to know the Presbyterian Church, and hopefully coming back with a much clearer idea of what I can go out to do in November. There's a blog spot that I've started, and I'm going to be putting regular posts on that. And there's also a newsletter, which some of you, I think, got on the way in. There's others at the back on the way out, which gives a bit more background and prayer points as well for that. Thank you.
A few years ago, many years ago, when I was young, there was a singer-songwriter called Keith Green, who died in the early 80s in a plane crash. But he was an amazing prophetic figure, and he wrote some wonderful songs. And years ago, when we used to have the organ here, and when we had Liz Henderson playing for us, occasionally you would hear Liz playing some of Keith Green's songs on the organ. And this particular song I want you to listen to today, it's on YouTube, and Ray's going to play it in a moment. And we're going to uplift the offering while you listen to Keith Green speak and then sing. But it's challenging, because what Keith Green is asking us to think about, and he's written a song which is entitled, "To Obey is Better Than Sacrifice." And so often we want to give God not everything that he wants. We want to do deals with God. Do you know what I mean? God, I tell you what, you don't get everything, but here's the deal. And God says, I don't deal that way. To obey is better than sacrifice. But I'll let Keith Green tell the story, and during this, can I ask that we uplift the offering? It's interesting. A line in that song reminded me of something that affected me when we were buying the second Amazon Hope boat. Someone phoned Willie up and said, God's told me that I've to buy you a boat. And Willie said, but we don't need a boat yet. We're not in the business of buying a boat yet. This person said, but we feel God is calling us to buy your next boat, because you will be doing a next boat. when it was time to get the next boat, we phoned this person up. And they said, yes, we are able to buy you the next boat because we just sold our business last week. And we said, we don't need all the money that you said you would give. We just need 40,000 instead of your 60 or 65,000. And the person at the other end of the phone said, I promised God I would buy all the boat, not half a boat. And that struck me as Keith Green was talking about doing deals with God, about King Saul and how he did half a thing. It got me wondering how many things in our lives have we promised to do for God and we've only done half the job. And there's a lot of things in my ministry that are a bit like that as we look around St. Andrews. We've only done half the job. And some of you and I, we have journeyed together a long time, but we've not completed what we've been called to do. What stops us? What stops us? It's interesting, today I can announce to you that we've bought our third ship. Now, what would have happened if that couple had have decided, you know, we'll just leave the Vine Trust and we'll give them just half of what they want? What we didn't know was that we needed more money. And we did get all the money we needed. And the interesting thing was, can I just say, I want to just finish this, was that that couple standing on the completed Amazon Hope 2, I said to this person, your £40,000 or your £60,000 investment has created an investment worth £1 million. How do you feel about that? And that couple said it's the best thing they've ever done in our lives. We could never have put our money in the bank and ever anywhere, even with the bankers of that time, we could have never made £1 million on it. Investing in God's kingdom is the best thing we could ever do. So watch out, there's another story coming up, and you've just heard it first here. The Dunster has been bought and it's going to be converted. And it is already being converted, we believe, anyway, for the Lord's work. And it's going to make a difference. We don't know whether it will be in Peru or whether it will be in Africa, but it will be in one of those places again. But God's at work in this place. With very, very small resources, God can do great things. Here am I, wholly available. Let us take a moment now to pray for these things this morning. And Sheena will lead us in our prayers of intercession. And can I ask you that you pray for the team, the first team ever that's going out to Tanzania, has left this morning, and they're going out to start building some homes for orphan children of parents who have had AIDS. And could you pray for Sarah Jane as she's out again in the first pioneering team, as she went out in the pioneering team to Peru. She's away as a killer. She's the pioneer. But can you pray for her and her team as they go out and start this new work just for 2 weeks in Tanzania? But it'll be the beginning, I believe, of something amazing. And it's interesting to know that Kenya's just over the border. Where's that going to lead? Well, I don't know.
Let's join together in our prayers of intercession. And at the end of each section, I'll just sing that phrase that we sang at the beginning. And if you can just repeat it as I sing it. Let's join together in prayer. Lord Jesus, you have put your spirit in each one of us, your spirit which looks at the world through eyes of love, your spirit which sees the heartache and the brokenness, the disappointment, the poverty, and the captivity. Your spirit which invites each of us to obedience. Your spirit which equips us, strengthens us, encourages us. Lord Jesus, help us to live in the strength of your spirit. These are our prayers, O Lord. These are our prayers, O Lord. Hear us, O Lord. Hear us, O Lord. Lord Jesus, we thank you for the good news that you proclaim, release to the captives. And so we pray for all those who feel imprisoned, for people in a physical prison, be it in Scotland or in Kenya. For those imprisoned unjustly, we pray for justice. For people who feel imprisoned by circumstances, illness, difficult relationships, unemployment, disappointment, bereavement. And for those imprisoned by their own actions, we pray for release from all that harms them. These are our prayers, O Lord. These are our prayers, O Lord. Hear us, O Lord. Hear us, O Lord. Lord Jesus, we thank you that you are the one who opens eyes, the one who brings recovery of sight. And we pray for those who work as medical missionaries, restoring physical sight through their skills, for the work of the Vine Trust in Peru and in Tanzania and the teams that have just gone out. We pray for all those who counsel and seek to bring the light of your love into people's lives. And we pray for all those who preach your word as mission partners, seeking to proclaim the good news of your great love. These are our prayers, O Lord. These are our prayers, O Lord. Hear us, O Lord. Hear us, O Lord. Lord Jesus, you proclaim freedom to the downtrodden. We pray for all those who experience the daily grind of poverty, for those who are marginalized and excluded, for all those who feel that their voice is not heard, their circumstances not known. And we pray for all the work supported by this church in India. May we be your presence wherever you have placed us. May we be your presence wherever you have called us to. Lord Jesus, may each one of us be proclaimers of your freedom by all we say and do. These are our prayers, O Lord. These are our prayers, O Lord. Hear us. Amen. Hear us. Amen.
When we come to worship like this on a Sunday, many things distract us during the service because we're just human beings. And don't feel bad about that if you're in and out of the service at different points. But can I ask you now, as we sing this next song, to ask God, what is it that God is saying to you this morning? What is the message that God has brought to your heart for you to hear? So your heart, the eyes of your heart are opened, that you might hear and see and understand and respond. You know, the world is full of people who have this phrase, if only I had, what would have happened if I had done this, if I had done that, if. And sometimes the church is a bit like that too. And sometimes our relationships are a bit like that, if only. And yet, in the scriptures, the theme for today is saying to obey is better than sacrifice. Obedience is what God calls us to be, because in this sense of obedience, God always wants the very best for us. Now, I was reflecting and thinking about this because, and the story that came to my mind was the story of the widow at Zarephath. So I'll come back to that in a moment. But I was also thinking, as I began to reflect more about this, about obedience and sacrifice, of course, I immediately thought of Abraham and Isaac. And then in my modern 21st century mindset and heart, I thought, oh, I don't like that story. It's a difficult story. And God said to me, look at it again. I know it's a difficult story. But it's an amazing story because it's a story that has changed the world. It's a story that has changed Judaism. It's a story that was in the Bible to say something very special about the Jewish nation. That they were not into child sacrifice. That's why it's there. It's there to say that the God of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob was not into child sacrifice. It was so different. They were so different. The message of Yahweh was so different from the gods all round about them. Because what Abraham was doing was he was seeking to be obedient to what he thought was the call of God. But he knew somehow in his heart that that was not how God wanted things to be. And God, in that whole story of Abraham, uses his obedience, but says, but that's not what I want. Here is another way. And supplies the lamb. The God who provides. But the God who in obedience, Abraham was seeking to be obedient. But God provided. And through that was a whole new testing of, and a whole new way for religious people in those days to see that child sacrifice was not right. It was not the thing to do. And it's a profound thing that's put there in Judaism. And it's there, that story's there, in order that it makes the story of Abraham stand out from everyone else. God calls us to be obedient. I was thinking also about this story of the widow at Zarephath. It's quite a challenging story as well. I mean, how would you like to be in that place? You know, that here's this widow, and God has called you, and you're a prophet, and you're a teacher, and then he calls you in the midst of it, and the woman's going out, and here is Elijah coming up after being fed by the ravens. Interesting thing. The whole story behind that is trying to work something into Elijah's mind. You know what, Elijah? Of yourself, you can do nothing. You can't depend on yourself to feed you. It is I who feed you. It is I, Yahweh, who knows you and loves you and will take care of you and will provide for you. And even I can provide ravens to feed you. And when the ravens won't feed you, you know what I'll do? I'll not take you to the richest people in the world. I'll not take you to a great king. I'll not give you great connections. You know what I'll do? I'll take you to some of the poorest people in the world. And you will depend on them. And I will do something amazing through poor people. And this whole story of the widow at Zarephath is that of Elijah coming and laying himself at the mercy of a widow who has nothing. She's about to die. And in there, in this whole story, is also her salvation, in that she's willing to give up what she has, and she finds out that she has more than she could ever have. Obeying God. You can imagine the whole story. And it seems such a true and real story to me because there is something about it. The details, she's going out to pick up sticks. The story has the sadness about her. Everything has gone wrong in her life. And all she's got is a wee cruse of oil and some oatmeal. And then the man of God comes and says, can you give me some? And you know, the thing is, this woman doesn't refuse. This woman doesn't refuse. She doesn't refuse because if you listen, Elijah gives her a promise. He says, you do this and the cruse of oil will never run down and the oatmeal will never go. You do it and I will bless you. And so the woman trusts the man of God. The funny thing is, every day she goes to the cruse and there's oil. And every day she goes, there's oatmeal. We're in the midst of a recession. Everybody's feeling the pinch. Everybody's talking about they can't afford this, they can't afford that. And I hear people saying to me, you know, there's just so much going on. You're talking about divine trust, opening up new frontiers. We've got Peru now, and now we're opening up new frontiers maybe in Kenya or in Tanzania. And then what happens if Sheena goes to Kenya? That's more. And then we've got India. How can we keep all this going? And then you want to do stuff with the transepts. It's all getting too much. It's too great. You're asking us to do too much. God's asking us to do too much. And that was going through my head. And that's why God brought me to that passage. And you know what God said to me in my mind? And I don't often speak like this, and you know I don't. He said, Albert, St. Andrew's Bowness is my widow. It's a wee two-bit outfit, two-bit-for-nothing outfit. There's nobody very rich in that place. But you know, Albert, it was out of that wee church that I set up an Amazon Hope when there was no money. It was out of that church that some people gave and built on something to make something happen, branches. And it was just a lot of people's pennies coming together to make something good. I can do great things with that wee church if they would see what I'm doing. They're my widow of Zarephath. You see, the widow could have said, I've got too much on. I can't do this. I don't want to do it. It's too much. I can't do it. Just let me die. And the man of God said, trust me. Trust me. Because as you give to God, as sure as I stand here, the cruse of oil will never go done, and the oatmeal will never run dry. And that's the sermon. The shortest sermon I've ever preached. You'll go home this morning and you'll say, what was it all about? It was about God asking me, asking you to trust him. What have you to do? What are you saying then, Albert? Are you saying you want money for? I'm saying I want nothing. I'm saying I want God, and I want you to start trusting God. And see what he's done in our lives as a congregation to this point. And whatever he brings to us, to our door, we will take it, will we not? Do you know what I was moved by? It was years and years ago. I was moved by this, and it was Grace. It was Grace in Sangeeta Orphanage. And I said to Grace, Grace, you've got 65 children here. You can't keep on taking more in. You just can't do it. And she said to me, but if the Lord brings them to my door, how can I turn them away? And she just keeps bringing them in. And that's another story I'll be telling you about, because God's going to speak to some of us about that, and there is money. We need to start. Ray's going to be starting a wee campaign soon. We need £15 a month to feed an orphan in Sangeeta Orphanage. Well, we can't do it all, Albert. I don't know why. I don't know. It's just come to our door. We can't turn them away. St. Andrew's Bowness, you're my widow of Zarephath. You've not got much. that your cruse of oil will never run down. Your cruse of oil will never run out. And your oatmeal will always be enough. So the next time God asks you to do something, will you just trust him? Just make the cake. Just make the cake. Because he has never let us down yet. And he will not start today. So you go in God's grace and go trusting, because we have a great God and we'll be the widow of Zarephath. I don't want to be Elijah. I'm one of you. I'll just be the widow of Zarephath along with you. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.